This is DrAlvin.com, the business of wisdom where world leaders and thinkers do come to chat. Very fortunate to have the international best-selling author at Zero. His previous book was The Final Secret to, or this is The Final Secret, I believe, to Zero Limits. First of all, Dr. Joe, tell me about the previous book, Zero Limits.
Well, Zero Limits was a wake-up call to the world because it was the first book to tell the story of a Hawaiian healing technique that had been secret, a technique called Ho'oponopono. And at the core of that was an amazing story, one I didn't even believe when I first heard it. But the book, Zero Limits, told that story, and it was about a therapist at a hospital, a mental institution, for criminally insane patients and prisoners. And this man, this therapist, went there and secretly used the Hawaiian healing system on those patients, and all of them got better within 4 years. And that ward was actually even closed. And so the story was pretty darn amazing, and I ended up co-authoring that book, Zero Limits, with the therapist himself. And that turned the world on its ear because it really inspired people to think, wow, if this technique can help heal an entire ward of mentally ill criminals, what can it do for us and our everyday problems and our traffic jams and our financial woes and health woes and relationship problems? So that first book told the story and introduced the method.
So I believe that this book is a continuation. So this book addresses questions that were not answered in the previous book?
Absolutely correct. The new book, which just came out, is called At Zero. And it's been 7 years since the first book came out. So I've heard all the questions. I've heard all of the concerns. I've heard all of the stories and the misinterpretations. And, of course, I've had 7 years of practicing the method myself. So I have my own journey to reveal and share, and I've had more insights into the method, and I found more about it. So all those stories, the answers, the insights, the secrets, all of that is in the new book. So this is part two. It's the final secret to Zero Limits. This is the one that blows the whistle on how all of this works, why this works, and how the average person can use it for virtually anything they can think of. That's what's in the new book, At Zero.
What are some of the misconceptions that individuals have concerning this particular subject matter?
I love that question. The number one is everybody thinks that they say these statements. The core of Ho'oponopono is a prayer like repeating of four statements. And the four statements are, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. It's that simple. But the average person, when they first hear this, think that they need to say them to other people. And that's not how the system works. In this Hawaiian healing tradition, all healing takes place within. Nobody else is needed to make a change, to make a transformation, to make a healing, to cure anything. All of it takes place within the individual. And so everybody who read the first book thought, oh, I got it. I just say these four questions, these four phrases. I say them to my boss. I say them to other people. And I can change them. No, you don't do it that way. What the new book shows is that it's all about personal responsibility. It's all about understanding everything takes place inside of you. If there's anything you want to change on the outside, you don't change the outside. You change your inner perceptions of the outside. And you do that inside yourself. So one of the big ones was you have to take it all internally. You don't take it anywhere else. That was a big one, and I address it pretty completely in this new book.
How does this scenario differ or similar to the Christian faith, which has aspects of forgiveness? The Lord's Prayer has acts of forgiveness. Many people talk about going down the Romans road as relates to salvation, forgiveness. So what is the role of forgiveness in us becoming whole?
That's a beautiful point. Forgiveness is absolutely crucial. I would say when it comes to this Hawaiian healing system, there's two fundamentals that make it work. And the first is unconditional love. And the second is radical forgiveness. Now, what do I mean by that? Unconditional love is unconditional love for your entire life, for everybody in it, for your perceptions of other people, and more importantly, for yourself. Having the same kind of love for yourself that you would imagine God or the divine might have for you. Unconditional love. The second is radical forgiveness. And I'm using the phrase radical with the word forgiveness because this is not a flippant little wispy kind of a forgiveness, like you say, oh, I forgive the other person, they hurt me. No, this is a radical forgiveness where you forgive everybody and everything, including and most importantly yourself. These two elements of unconditional love and radical forgiveness are the stepping stones to bring us into a connection with our Creator. They are of fundamental importance. Everything less than that is an ego trip. And where we want to come from is a spiritual trip. We want to get closer to our Creator. And this forgiveness and this love are the two stepping stones, or the two legs of the chair, if you will, that bring it all, that make it all possible.
How can I find out what my unconscious is really, truly thinking and whether or not it's helping or hindering me from success?
I love that. The unconscious mind is always protecting us. So it's out to protect our survival. It wants us to live forever, or at least as long as possible. But as it goes about that, it might be behaving in aborted ways that no longer actually serve us and don't help us have success in the world. So the way to find out what's going on with the unconscious is to first assume it's trying to help you. And then second, look at your life. Look around you. Look at your relationships. Look at your bank account. Look at everything around you. And it is a mirror reflection of what your unconscious mind believes. The unconscious mind is projecting out into concrete reality all of your beliefs. Those beliefs are in the unconscious mind. So you find them by looking around and saying, well, I have so much money in my bank account here. Maybe I have a limit on what I think is possible. And you question it to find out what's going on. Now, in the Hawaiian healing system that I write about in both books, Zero Limits and this new one, At Zero, they say you don't need to know what the limiting beliefs are in your unconscious mind. You assume they are there because we're all programmed. We're programmed, according to this system, from birth all the way up to now, and we have all kind of beliefs and wiring that's in our brain. And we can change it with this prayer-like mantra, the I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, that we say inside of ourselves. So we don't specifically need to know what the unconscious beliefs are to erase them. But if we want to know, we can ask ourselves some nice questions like, well, what might I be believing to bring this kind of a lifestyle to me? And you can unfold it from there.
How do we program the unconscious mind?
Well, I don't want to program the unconscious mind. It's already programmed. I want to deprogram the unconscious mind so that God, the spirit of divinity, can speak to us, breathe through us, think through us, and live through us. So instead of putting more programming in my mind, I want to have less programming in my mind. And this is a new way of thinking for a lot of people, because even me, when I was in poverty and I was homeless for a very long time, I had to correct my thinking. And so what I was doing was a whole lot of rewiring of my brain. Instead of thinking about lack and limitation, I trained myself to think about abundance and flow in the universe. But now I know that when I get rid of the limiting beliefs, there's a natural abundance in the universe. So it's not about reprogramming my mind, it's more about deprogramming my mind. And that's one of the beautiful things that happens from the book At Zero and the first one, Zero Limits, is that it teaches you this simple method that you can do that, and then you can achieve peace and actually live a life of awe and wonder and magic and miracles.
A lot of persons, when they talk about saying the desire, they feel that sometimes if they say the desire or begin to plan for the desire, that they are not being truthful. Help a person to understand that particular concept.
Well, desire comes from a couple different places. In the Ho'oponopono tradition, they say a desire is either coming from a memory, which means it's a program, it's a past experience, it's something that you've already read about, something you've already lived about, something you already believe is possible in your life, so it's based on the past. And it's based on ego. Or a desire comes from inspiration, which means it comes from God himself or herself. It comes from divinity through you as a gift and as a opportunity to do something that may be unimaginably wonderful because you never thought of it before. And so what we want to learn is to discern the difference. When we have a desire, is it coming from the ego? Is it all about our own personal pleasure and doesn't influence anybody else? Or is it coming from divinity And it's an inspired idea that excites you, and it also influences other people. There's a general rule of thumb that says a desire should influence at least three other people besides you. It should have a positive impact on at least three others, hopefully a lot more. When so, that is there, then you have a desire that is really good for the universe, and it's probably a desire coming from inspiration. So again, I talk about this in the book At Zero to help people understand the difference between the ego desire and the divine desire. I'm not against desire at all. I just want it to be of a more noble, higher spiritual level.
When I talk to chief executive officers, like, for example, recently I talked to one with Kraft, and I wanted to know how he was able to manage billions of dollars in so many different countries. He talks about the role of capacity in the sense that you cannot put, for example, 12 ounces of water in a 6-ounce glass. Do a person need to know their capacity in order for them to also as a double check to see whether or not their desire is actually something that can happen in their lives?
They do need to be aware of these internal set points that we have. When people want to lose weight, they have to hear about the weight set point, that unconsciously they're comfortable at a certain weight, and they need to change it in order for them to lose weight. There's also something called a financial set point, where unconsciously they feel comfortable with a certain amount of money, and if they have less than that, they get scared, but if they get more than that, they also get uncomfortable, and they'll tend to push it away. And so what we want to do is grow into the capacity to have more, be more, and do more. And that's the beauty of Ho'oponopono in this Hawaiian healing system, that it's used for finances, it's used for expanding ourselves, because what it's doing is dissolving the limitations. It's dissolving those set points that say you can't have more or you're not comfortable if you have more, so that you get to the point where you can welcome more in your life. When I was homeless and in poverty, I couldn't allow very much into my life because my mindset was one of thinking I could only get a minimum wage job or there wasn't enough to go around, or even my self-worth was so low I couldn't imagine having what I have today. But today I've grown so much and have such a tremendous capacity for more that I'm living the lifestyle of the rich and famous, and I get to do wonderful interviews like this one. So all of us can change, but it's an internal process, and it is well worth the pursuit. And this is another thing I talk about in the new book.
What about the role of skill sets, you know, education or wisdom? Do I need to have certain skill sets in order for me to be able to receive what I desire as well?
The skill sets that a person needs to receive more, they'll develop and they'll learn what they need to have as they go through the process. It's not a matter of sitting here and thinking, well, I can't have more until I learn or get a PhD or develop a certain skill of some sort that I can't even imagine what it would be. But for each individual, as they work on their capacity to receive more, as they love themselves, as they forgive themselves, as they open themselves, they'll be led to the skill set they may need. Somebody may feel that they're really shy. When I first started public speaking, I spoke in front of 6 people. I was terrified. I leaned against the wall because I almost shook and passed out and vomited and slid to the floor. And today I speak on Larry King. I spoke in the largest live audience was 20,000 people. I developed the skills I needed as I needed them. So that's what people need to comfort themselves with. They don't need to jump into the deep end and think, oh, I have to go and learn this and this and this and this and do it today. No, what they need to do is work on themselves to receive more. And as they go through their moments and their days, they'll be led to the courses, the books, the audio programs, whatever it happens to be, that'll help them with the next skills.
Are you familiar with this term, the Matthew effect?
Not offhand, no.
Okay, those that have more shall be given. Those that have it not, that which they have shall be taken away.
Mm.
And many people utilize that term from St. Matthew in, I must see myself as a have in order for me to have. I must see myself being that person of abundance. And if I see myself as a have not, that which I have shall be taken away. What do you think about that particular concept, which is many call either the St. Mark or the St. Matthew effect?
I love it. I'm not familiar with that one, so thank you for teaching me something new right there. I will use that in the future. I'm all for it. I think what people need to do more of is to own the wealth that they already have, meaning that life itself is this tremendous blessing that we take for granted. the fact that we have air that is enabling it, that's enabling us to stay alive, and it's absolutely free, and there's such an abundance of it, is a small example of what we're given that we don't take any acknowledgement of. So I think beginning the feeling of, I am already abundant, I am already wealthy, will move people into the mindset that will then bring in or attract or help them achieve the actual financial abundance and the worldly things that they're looking for. But it begins by owning prosperity and abundance with tremendous gratitude right now. So instead of complaining about things, I'd be acknowledging things. Instead of wanting everything to be changed right now, I'd be looking at what I'm grateful for right now. And out of this ownership of the wealth that is here, I will begin to see the new world and act on the possibilities and the actions and the opportunities to bring in the concrete, measurable wealth that most people are actually looking for.
One final question. Many years ago, when Stevie Wonder heard his mother crying, he asked his mother, "Why are you crying?" She says, "You're blind." And Stevie says, "What do you mean? I have no concept of that. I am what I am." So do you think sometimes that perhaps persons may be listening to other persons' labels, you're disabled, you are artistic or whatever, realizing that once they embrace what may for another be a limitation, for them, they don't see it as a limitation. They see it as a potential for enhancement.
I love that. And yes, each of us can look at what we have and declare it the greatest gift of all. There are numerous stories of people who have had cancer or had challenges or have been in accidents who later said it was a great gift. Even Lance Armstrong, who had said when he had cancer and everything, it ended up being one of the most courageous things because it changed his life and helped him tap into inner power. And so all of us have that means of looking at ourselves, and instead of putting ourselves down or seeing a negative or seeing a label, instead seeing the blessing, seeing the strength, and maybe reframing and reinterpreting what we have so that we actually see it as a God-given gift that we can use and make a difference in the world to inspire others.
We're talking about At Zero. This particular chat will be featured on the global platform of DrAlvin.com, DrAlvin.com on Facebook, and also the conversation will continue on Twitter at Dr. Alvin Jones. That's where you discover wisdom, one brilliant mind at a time. Give me a final thought, and then tell me how to get a copy of this book and to be a part of your world.
Absolutely. The final thought is everybody needs to follow their passion. Their passion is their ticket to having the life that they've been dreaming about. Their passion is the roadmap that reveals what their life calling is, their life mission. When you follow your passion, everything seems to work easier. Besides that, you have a blast because you're doing what you love. And the book is at Amazon. It's on audio. It's in the Kindle version. You can also go to the website at zerobook.com, www.atzerobook.com. And when you get the book through that website, there's a bunch of gifts that you can get as a bonus. Go for your dreams. I love what you're doing, and I really appreciate you. Godspeed to everybody.
Well, thank you so very much. Appreciate you being a part of the day's broadcast, and may this be your best day ever. I look forward to more chats in the future, sir.
Absolutely, yes. Anytime you want. Thank you.